Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Adam Frazier just grounded into a double play, although
I jinx him.
You might have, yeah. He's actually, he had, an 11-game hitting streak, but a miracle occurred before that. Canario was on first base.
Wow.
He reached first.
Did he walk? Did he get hit by a pitch?
I don't know what's the bigger miracle, that or when Herb Brooks defeated the Soviets. It's right up there.
Whoa.
That's one of the biggest sports miracles I've ever seen. Limits.
No exaggeration there.
What do you think Ron's doing right now?
I think he's on probably beer number 12 at this point.
Yeah. I'm happy for him. And jealous of him, I might add. But he doesn't get to talk to the likes of Mike DeFabo.
No. And we were talking about how there's such a huge gap between Belichick and his girlfriend in terms of age.
Right.
One texter says the gap between Belichick and his girlfriend is bigger than the age gap between Ron Cook and Martha Washington.
Of course, because that gap's only about 4 years.
How about that?
I think Ron covered George Washington's inauguration. I think that was one of his first assignments.
Oh, you think so?
I think, yes, Ron was there with a little, what did they used to write with then? Those
quills?
Those quills, yeah.
Yeah, quills.
Exactly.
Then they have those, what Ron, were they called? The calligraphy pens.
Exactly. My mom used to do calligraphy,
I wrote,
believe it or not.
One of those, like, once we were doing something in school, and they were like, here's a calligraphy pen. And I was like, oh, man, I feel like I'm, like, signing the Declaration of Independence.
I wonder if Ron wrote a column on the Washington inauguration where he was pacing in the halls of wherever that was.
Walking around
Philadelphia,
the
maybe?
White House at some point.
And then sat down and pounded out. He probably ripped him. George Washington said this never should have happened. He did it to Jamie Dixon when he got hired.
Was Ron on the side of the British?
I don't know. I don't know what side he was on.
He was not rooting for the underdog.
Did they have columns back then, Limits? Was an editorial where somebody ripped George Washington the day he was inaugurated?
Oh, yeah.
Saying,
they had
this guy with the white hair?
I was in this really nice Civil War class when I was at Waynesburg. And the newspapers, like, they were...
They would take shots at these guys?
Huge haymakers.
Doesn't even have his real teeth. He has wooden teeth.
Mike Tyson-level shots being delivered to people in power.
Mike DeFabo is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike, do you wish you had been writing in those times where you could take a crack maybe at an Abe Lincoln when he got inaugurated?
I mean, I feel like there's nothing bad you could say about Abe Lincoln. If I were to pick presidents, he would be near the top.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. The closest story I have that relates to this conversation is I ran back in high school. There was a competition student council president. And the guy, the year before I ran, went up on stage and just said, who can name some good presidents? And then they said, like, George Washington and Abe Lincoln. And he just kept saying, I'm just like those guys. And then he ripped off his shirt at the end of it and ended up getting elected student council president.
Wow.
So then after that, they made a rule that you had to give like a legitimate speech and try to take it seriously. So that's the closest thing I can come up with that relates to this conversation about presidents.
Well, it's always good to do something memorable. when you're trying to get elected. And I think ripping off his shirt, I don't blame him for that. Ron once took off his shirt just to bring this conversation full circle at the Pittsburgh Steak Company. Were you guys aware of that?
I was not. The other ripping off the shirt incident, to bring it to the Steelers, was when DK Metcalf was coming out of college. And Pete Carroll ripped off his shirt just to see what would happen when DK ripped off his. And I guess he was like, this dude's jacked, I'm drafting him.
Wow. Limits, do you have a shirt ripping off story to really finish this?
No? I do not, but I do wonder if Mike Tomlin will rip off his shirt with DK Metcalf at training camp this year. We'll see that. Maybe at the Friday Night Lights practice.
Well, Mike DeFable will be there covering it. We know that much. Mike, if it were up to you, would you have made the same pick the Steelers did at number 21?
I think absolutely, for a number of reasons. First and foremost, I was not sold on this draft class whatsoever. And, you know, Dane Brugler, who does a great job for us at The Athletic, he's been for years ranking quarterbacks, and he said that even Cam Ward, who went first overall, would have been ranked only fifth or sixth last season when six quarterbacks went in the first round. So I feel like the Steelers needed to learn their lesson with Kenny Pickett. And the lesson is, just because you need a quarterback does not mean that the future of your franchise is sitting there, even in the first round. And had they taken a big gamble with a guy like Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders, that's a decision, if it doesn't pay off, that you're digging yourself out of for years afterwards, which is what the Steelers are doing right now with Kenny Pickett. And the fact that they made that draft choice when he was not a first-round caliber quarterback was not their answer. So on the flip side, what they did instead was they addressed what's by far their most pressing need now and also into the future. If you did not draft Derek Harmon, you'd be starting Daniel Ekwuale, who only started once in his six-year career, and that was last year, for one of the worst defenses in the league, which was the Patriots. And the only reason he earned that starting opportunity was because of injury. And this guy has two PED offenses to his name. You don't know if that could be an issue popping up. So you go from that to a first-round caliber guy like Derek Harmon, who fits perfectly in your scheme. He played in an odd front last year in college. You know exactly where he's going to line up. I just felt like you had to draft defensive tackle, and quarterback would have been such a mistake, and they chose the right route, in my personal opinion.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line on which you can communicate with Limits is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Mike, we had an unbelievable moment on the show earlier today where Limits said if Will Howard has a Landry Jones-like career, the Steelers will have made a good pick. We were all in shock over it. Me, all of our listeners, Andrew Filippone was listening. It was a hell of a moment. What do you think of that, and what do you think of the Will Howard pick?
Well, here's my defense of Limits. And the defense is, when you're picking a guy, any position in the sixth round, if he makes your team, then that's a pretty good pick. And if he sticks around.
See?
And if he sticks around for 4 years. So I'm defending Limits in the sense that where the Steelers drafted a quarterback in the sixth round, you know, I think people overestimate what you're getting in the sixth round. And if we're talking about any position whatsoever, if that guy sticks for 4 years, which Will Howard certainly will, I think that that's a very logical and reasonable pick. I also think that Will Howard is going to be a little bit better than that. I think that he does have some upside. I like the fact that he won a national championship. He's 6'4". He has prototypical size. You know, he doesn't have the strongest arm, but it's not like a noodle arm either. So I feel like he's in a good situation where he comes in, you're only expected to be quarterback three this year. You know, maybe you rise up the depth chart over the years, and maybe best case scenario, it's like a Kirk Cousins situation where they drafted RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same year. Turned out Cousins had the better career. Maybe if you're really trying to be optimistic, Will Howard has that kind of a career. But even if he is a career backup, you've now stabilized what was an uncertain position that you've turned over twice in back-to-back years. At least you should have him, you know, providing some stability, some youth to a room that needs it. And I think the fact that you were able to get a guy like that in the sixth round, I think that it should have good value.
Limits, do you feel vindicated by Mike DeFabo's comments?
I think Mike put it as well as I could have. It probably put
better,
it better.
Actually,
he put it better than I could
way
have.
Better.
Just because, I mean, think about how many Steelers six-round picks outside of Antonio Brown have made, you know, real impacts or been able to be on the team for a sustainable amount of time.
Another wonderful point by you, augmented by Mike. Mike, now we're looking ahead to next year's draft, and how can we not? I mean, it seems very obvious.
Do you have your mock draft figured out already?
Well, no, but it does seem obvious that the Steelers are going to put all their resources into doing whatever they have to do to get their guy next year. So realizing that we have a whole year of college football to play, I want to ask you your opinion on one guy, because it's going to be a guy we're all monitoring throughout the season because he's right around the corner. That's Drew Aller. What do you think of him? If he had come out this year, would you have taken him first overall, that type of thing, on potential?
Well, you know, I think that there were some rumblings that maybe Drew Aller could come out this year if he would have had a strong college football playoff, because of the fact that, as we saw just a couple days ago, this was such a weak quarterback class, and people are higher on Drew Aller's potential. So right now I think Drew Aller is kind of like one of those unscratched lottery tickets where you've seen him for a couple years in college. There's a couple things that you like. You know, I think he has good arm strength. And I think that eventually, after maybe this year, we could be talking about him going in the top of the first half of the draft. But really, for me, I guess I would like to see him continue to grow through this year. I think he made the right decision to come back to college, because often it seems like guys leave college when their stock is the highest and when they can get drafted the earliest, rather than leaving when they're most ready to be a productive NFL player. And I feel like by staying in college that additional year, this is really going to be a telltale season for him. And I think that absolutely you and me could be having this conversation in 9 months. And I think that it would be a very reasonable conversation.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Because Drew Aller should be one of those, you know, one of those guys that we're talking about with that's at least in the discussion to go first round and potentially to the Steelers.
Second annual Fan 5-Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, June 5th, 6th, will take place at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. You can donate now at 937thefan.com to help support local volunteer fire departments in our area. Brought to you by Charles Leach Insurance, Firehouse Subs, True Fan Travel, People's Natural Gas, and Louis. Is it Louis or Luis? What am I saying here, Limits? Louis Anthony Jewelers, should I go with?
Yeah.
Okay. For today, I'll do that for sure. Mike, I don't know if you saw this comment by Arthur Smith yesterday. I think to the Steelers website, I believe. He said he pivoted last year. He didn't run his true zone running scheme, that he sort of altered his scheme to fit the running backs, I guess, on hand, namely Najee, and that this year they have more of a scheme fit in Caleb Johnson. Did you see those comments? Do they make sense to you?
They do make sense to me, because there were some other concepts that they ran last season. But traditionally, Arthur Smith loves the outside zone. And that's part of the reason why I really am a big fan of this Caleb Johnson pick, because, you know, not only did they needed a running back, they rounded out the room with a guy that's 6'1", 225 pounds, in a room full of 5'9", and 5'8", guys. So it gives you a different body type, a more physical ball carrier. But as Arthur Smith is talking about, the biggest thing that I like is this is a schematic fit. Iowa ran a ton of outside zone, and Caleb Johnson is really good at running it. And there's a couple of things that are important to running it. You know, not only do you have to have some speed to stress the defense to the perimeter, but it's also about identifying your cutback lanes and being patient within that and setting up your blocks. And these are things that Caleb Johnson does really well. Like, it kind of surprised me when they said he ran a 4.57 40-yard dash, but then he was also one of the most explosive backs in college football. Those two things don't seem to make sense. They seem to be contradictory. But when you go back and you watch some of his film, he's really good within zone runs of setting up blockers and setting up those second-level defenders, so that then he is able to turn what looks like a 2 or 3 yard carry into a 12-yard carry. So, you know, I have a lot of optimism that I think that he is going to fit, and I think that he's going to allow Arthur Smith to do what he wants to do. And I just feel like it was another important position for them to address.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. Mike, who do you think was the most interesting, in your opinion, of the undrafted free agents the Steelers brought in?
Ooh, of the undrafted. Okay, I guess I'll go with J.J. Galbraith. That is the tight end that they signed from South Dakota. And he was the one that they gave a little bit of extra money to. I think it was $30,000 to sign. So that tells you that they must feel a certain way about him. So what's interesting about him is at his pro day, he basically outperformed all of the combine participants at his position. He would have, I believe, had the top 40-yard dash time of any of the tight ends who competed at the combine. His vertical, his broad jump, all those would have been like top five, top three. So you know he's got some athleticism. And we know that Arthur Smith loves the tight end position. So it's going to be – I think that's going to be an interesting camp battle, because obviously Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington are going to make the team as tight ends. But they're very, very different kinds of tight ends. Darnell is the physical inline blocker. Pat Freiermuth is that traditional kind of like – or modern do-everything type of tight end. J.J. Galbraith is more in the form of a Pat Freiermuth in that he's not especially big and strong, but he's athletic. He lined up at every wide receiver position that that they had in college. He lined up on the wing. He lined up offset in the backfield. So, you know, I think it's going to create a competition. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that, you know, guys like Connor Hayward, even though he has special teams value and versatility as a fullback, you know, he could be in a competition with J.J. Galbraith. You know, David Perham Jr., who they signed just before free agency, you know, he's 6'8" and a different body type for sure. But even though he's so big, he is also more of a receiving weapon and just kind of like a big receiver. So if you want the well-rounded guy who can do it all, you know, I'm kind of intrigued by J.J. Galbraith. Now, until we see him at rookie minicamp or see how he performs against, you know, legitimate NFL level caliber competition, we have to wait and see. But I just feel like the back half of that depth chart at tight end could get a little bit messy and could create some tough decisions for the Steelers.
I'm probably an old school dinosaur type, but I actually do see teams that run the ball well still utilizing a fullback. And you had this DJ Thomas Jones, 6'2", 250 from South Alabama. I don't know, Mike. To me, there's still use for a fullback who crushes people, but the Steelers don't seem to have a use for one. So why even bring in a guy like that? Special teams, I guess, huh? Or might they actually employ a fullback from time to time?
Well, we're going to have to see because, you know, this has been a long discussion about Arthur Smith's previous offenses that have all these have been interconnected segments here. But it makes sense because when Arthur Smith was with Atlanta, his regular fullback was on the field 21-25% of the time. So the fullback absolutely is and was part of an Arthur Smith offense. So last year they had Jack Coletto in camp. And at that time, Arthur Smith talked a lot about how they were able to carry a fullback in Atlanta because that was a core special teamer who played all four phases of special teams.
Yeah.
So he provided value elsewhere. So I think that's really going to be the question with whoever they bring in that might be a true fullback is, can you also play special teams? Can you also provide value in another sort of way, whatever that might be? Maybe you like Connor Hayward, you know, he's not a true fullback, but because he can play tight end, because he's a core special teamer, you know, that helps them keep him. If instead this other guy ends up, you know, contributing all four phases of special teams, maybe he can earn his way onto the roster. But it's just there's tough decisions to make when you're doing the roster math. And, you know, they kept four tight ends last year, which is more than the typical three to suit Arthur Smith's offense. Do you trim from that number? You know, they only kept five wide receivers last year. And now you added another guy, Robert Woods, yesterday. He could be six, so you would already have to trim from somewhere else. It just gets difficult to cut it down to 53 and to carry a fullback if that guy's not able to contribute in a different way.
All right. Lastly, Mike, Aaron Rodgers, how do you expect this to play out? Are you treating it as a foregone conclusion that he'll be here? And if so, when?
Well, these are great questions, Joe. And I guess the way that I'll answer it is until Aaron Rodgers signs on the dotted line, and the Steelers put out an announcement that he has signed, I think that anything can happen. But if you look at their words and actions around the draft, I think there's a lot of signs pointing to Aaron Rodgers. And the biggest sign was when Art Rooney came out during the draft and he said, we still are getting positive signs. We think that he wants to play here and we should get an answer soon. And to me, that was really critical because Art Rooney had said similar things at NFL owners meetings, but that was three and a half, four weeks ago.
Right.
So has his feelings changed? And evidently it hasn't. And then you combine that with things such as not taking a swing on a Jackson Dart in the first round. You combine that with, you know, not trading George Pickens even, because from what I've heard or understand, I think there is sentiment within the organization that they would like to give Aaron Rodgers every opportunity to make a run this year. And that means surrounding him with as many weapons as possible, which means keeping George Pickens, you know, through this season. So the fact that Art Rooney said what he said, They didn't draft a quarterback first round. They didn't trade George Pickens. All these signs would lead you to believe they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. And I think in the Steelers' hearts, they believe they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. But until that guy signs on the dotted line, truly because of the fact that he does things on his own timeline, he does things his own way, I think that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's absolutely going to happen, because I think there's only one person who really knows what, and maybe that person, Aaron Rodgers, doesn't even know exactly what they want.
Mike, great stuff. I hope we speak again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Of course. That's Mike DeFabo.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Limits, I have a pronouncement to make.
A what?
Pronouncement. Perhaps you could say announcement. I think O'Neal Cruz is on his way to becoming a star.
I am right there with you. And I even tweeted that, I think it was Friday in L.A.
Well, you beat me to it. Why yes. Do you always have to one-up me?
I'm just pointing it out. I'm not trying to.
Yes, you are.
We're on a linear path.
And Bob thinks the same thing, that you're trying to one-up him. We agree on that then.
Yes.
He just hit a ball into the gap. It's so effortless. Like, it feels like half the balls he hits are shots somewhere. And then he also just made his second great catch of this series. You put that piece with the offense, and wow, that's his second great catch of the series. He made one running back to the wall the other day. Today, it was running, sprinting in and picking a ball off the turf. What a catch, huh?
I'm starting to get that little itch. That little itch that says, Ben, it might be time to get out the checkbook. It might be time to negotiate with O'Neal Cruz.
That's the story.
And
that's why they call you the savvy young news hound. Bob Smizek tweeted this last week. I'm not saying he beat you to the punch, because
maybe
I'm sure
we'll give Bob
that
credit.
You were first, Limits.
No, I don't think I was.
But I agree. I agree. It's time to start looking at a deal for him.
Like, I was a little skeptical coming into this year. Like, it's always been in the back of my mind. Yeah, they definitely should think about paying Cruz, and if you can get a bargain for him, then do it. Was concerned about the defense. He's starting to come around, but offensively, he just looks like a beast.
No, he's coming around to be what we thought he would be. And I realize guys get off to good starts and all that stuff, but even last year, when you kind of look back at it, he was coming off a traumatic leg injury, and he had 21 homers, 76 ribbies. His OPS was up toward 800, 22 steals, which indicated, that his legs were back, but not all the way back, the leg. This year, he's already over half that stolen base number. He's got 12, but forget about that. He's already got 8 homers, and his OPS is over 900. And guess what? I think it's going to stay there. I think, if anything, the way that he's hit the ball, he's actually shortchanged a little bit on the numbers. He's hit the ball better than what his numbers are saying, is what I'm telling you. Every time I turn around, he's hitting a rocket somewhere, and a lot of them, it seems to me, are getting caught.
Yeah, I think about that game in L.A. when it was the final game of the series. They had a 3-0 lead that they blew, and Cruz had a chance with, I think it was McCutchen or whoever was on first base, where Mike Trout made a good play moving to his left to catch it on a ball that Cruz hit like 120 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Just absolutely smoked it. If that ball gets down, it's to the wall, and it's a tie game. Those are the type of things where You know how we always we criticize Cherington a little bit when he says things like, well, our numbers are telling us that he's hitting the ball very well.
Yeah.
We're seeing that with Cruz, but he's also getting a lot to drop in, which makes those outlying numbers look even better from a projectable standpoint.
For sure. And I think this is sustainable because the other thing that's happening is plate discipline. Is, you know, a couple of years ago when he broke into the league in 330 at-bats, he only walked 28 times. Guess what? He only has 99 at-bats coming into this game. 18 already walks. Already against 33 strikeouts. So that tells me he's being more selective. I think he still struggles against lefties, although he hit a homer against the lefty in a recent game. He's got to play. He's the type of guy that you do not platoon. Do we agree on that?
No doubt. And there was a lefty that pitched. It was Imanaga, and he was in the lineup against the lefty. He is hitting just 152
right
this year against lefties. Against righties, over 300 at 303.
Not only that, against righties, his OPS is over 1,000. I don't care. He's earned the right to stay in there and learn how to hit lefties. There's too many guys, and I understand because you got to win, but there's too many guys who get buried early in their careers as, oh, this guy can't hit lefties, or even from the right side. It seems more from left on left, though, and you're like, well, how's he ever going to learn to hit lefties if he's never allowed to hit lefties? You know what I mean? This guy deserves the opportunity to learn.
He should be 150, 155 game a year player.
Yes.
As long as he stays healthy, because, and at the top of the lineup, I did not think that leading off was going to be the best move or the best decision for him as he watches the ball go over his head for a homer. And
holy bird milk.
That ball just got out into the first row.
Skeens is pitching great today. I can't believe that guy just hit one out. Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
I'm sorry I lost my train of thought. But basically,
I'm sorry that you lost your train of thought because I interrupted you.
Cruz at the top of the order. He just seems like a prototypical 3-4-5 guy,
yeah.
Middle of the order
yeah,
bat.
Yeah.
His at-bats at the top of the lineup, he looks comfortable. He looks like he's not chasing nearly as much. He looks confident in that spot. I would keep him there. If that's where he's going to thrive the most, so what? Keep him there. He might not drive in 100 runs like he would be in a 3-4-5 spot, but I'll take it.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, social media's biggest loser.
Malsy.
Brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. And What's Cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr.
Kindly.
Hester.
So this would be a big series win for the Buccos. It really would, because it looked like things were really going to fall apart when they lose 9-0. Remember, the lead-in was Shelty to this week, and especially after the first game of the series. Shelty, I think, is at his son's graduation today, so Don Kelly on the bench. But the Pirates, you know, listen, 13-19, if they win today, looks a hell of a lot different than 10-22 or whatever it would have been. I mean, you take a series from the team that's leading the division, you get a little momentum. This is why you have Skeens to win series like this. And I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture necessarily, but it's a lot rosier than it could have been. It's a pretty good deal to win a series from the Cubs.
Divisional games are the most important games that you play, even if it's May 1st.
That's highly arguable limits.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously games in September and August
and
are
games more important against other teams because you want the wild card.
Right, later in the season. But when I'm talking like first third of the year,
yeah,
these are the ones that you really circle, the ones against your own division, which makes it even more frustrating getting swept by Cincinnati a couple weeks ago.
Yes, it did. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills either. We know that, don't we?
Correct.
I wrote a piece today, how attractive really is the Penguins coaching job.
I watched you write it.
Yes, you did. I'm sure that was very exciting.
Very.
I think it's as far as the openings in the league, there's, I think, 8, including the Penguins, which is, what, a quarter of the league. I think Anaheim and Chicago are better jobs right now because I think you start with a bunch. I mean, the Penguins have a couple of young guys and a bunch of draft picks coming, but Those two teams have young players and prospects knocking at the door. I think Sully should take one of those two jobs. Anaheim is the one I would take. But those are clearly franchises that you could see on the rise. The Penguins are clearly in decline. There's no argument there. But I don't know that they're down there with Boston, Philly, Seattle.
My gosh, they go back to back.
Holy horse follicles.
Kyle Tucker homer, same spot.
Right after I said this is why you want Skeens to win a series like this, they hit two homers in a row. You jinxed him.
It was, yes. You can all deflect all blame to me.
Who else? Seattle, Philly, Vancouver. See, the Penguins are probably a better job than those teams, but not by much. The pros are you get Sidney Crosby, but also the con there is that Sidney Crosby, you have to win him over. They just got rid of a coach that he adored, you know? So that's a challenge to pass the Sidney Crosby test. A con, you know, when we go for job interviews, limits, then we sit down and make the pros and cons of if we want the job. That's what we're doing here. A con would be all those bloated contracts and the declining statuses of Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang. And Letang signed for 3 more years at $6.1 million. A pro would be this is a great sports town. We know that limits, and you're part of that. The con would be you better win soon or you'll never see what a great sports town it is. A pro would be not a lot of pressure to win immediately unless there is. I'm still confused about that, which brings up a con. What does Kyle Dubas want? What's the plan here? Urgent, patient, urgent, win now, contend for the core, win. They didn't just hit another homer.
Suzuki, oh my gosh.
You did this, Limits.
Do not blame.
They've hit 3 homers in the inning because of you.
No, because it was. I told the Cubs the secret sauce to Paul Skeens, apparently, and how they did it.
What has happened here?
Suzuki hit a line drive to left. 104.
I was just talking about everything good about winning this series and Skeens, and they just hit 3 homers in a row.
Threw that ball right down the middle.
I'm calling the Pirates and telling them what you said and how they lost because of you.
What did I say?
I don't remember.
Exactly.
Forget the pros and cons. Nobody cares. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Joe.
Bye.
Sounds good. Hope you get your power back. Goodbye.